Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life coach, singer-songwriter, artist, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have Rudy Colombini as my guest. Tune in for a conversation about how Rudy is using his creativity as a singer, songwriter, performer, and with Music City in San Francisco. Welcome, Rudy.
Welcome. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I was wondering if you were there.
I was trying to find my mute button because I had muted you.
Oh.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I am so happy to have you on. When I think about people who are living their music, you definitely come to mind because you do it in so many ways and they're all fun. Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's talk about your music that you record with Robert, because I have a song, a song of yours that I'm going to play during the show. And so I'd like to have you tell us a little bit about how you got started recording music with Robert, when you first started performing your music, you know, that sort of thing. So start off there. And then in a little while, we'll play the song and talk about it as well, okay?
Okay. Well, you know, I started performing my music in North Beach. My first show was at the Spaghetti Factory. I started guitar at about 15. And I'm just going to run through this really quickly because we don't want to spend too much time talking about it. But at 15, I started playing, and I was starting to try to write by about 17, and I wasn't able to get anything out the gate, although one day a couple of people were hanging out in front of my home in San Francisco. This is real quick, but it was John and Yoko, and I was coming home, and you know, John said hi to me first, ironically, because I was staring at him. He said, "Yeah, it's me." And make a long story short, he ended up asking me to go for a walk, and I did. And he said this to me. He said, "You know how you write those songs, Rudy?" He goes, "They've all been written." He said, "You steal a little here, you steal a little there." So I took that information, and in a couple of weeks, we had moved from that location, and I wrote my first song, Little Sadie. In the next year or so, I started a band. I played my first performance in North Beach at the Spaghetti Factory. And it was probably 60, 70 people there. It was a band called the Stragglers.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I remained in that band for a few years. And then, you know, to make a long story short, in my early 30s, I was a member of the West Coast Songwriting Organization. I asked Ian there, I'm sure you know Ian.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Yeah, who's great to kind of produce this stuff. And recommended Robert Berry. The next thing you know, I have a full album, and it's called Rudy Colombini. The Divine Comedy.
Oh, wow.
So that's the link, right? And, you know, during those years, I had a band called The Twist. I was being courted by Elektra, was backstage with Queen, got a song in a movie called Rumblefish.
Fill it up.
I'm on the line, yeah. So there you go. Long story short.
Oh, wow. You know, it's so funny when you said the Spaghetti Factory, because I had not heard that name of that restaurant in years. And my aunt and uncle lived in San Francisco, so when we would come up to visit them, that was one of the places we used to go to eat, was the Spaghetti Factory. So I can picture where you were singing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right in the heart of North Beach.
Yeah. Wow, I had not thought about that in years. Goes to show that when you're supposed to do something and you just start doing it, then one thing leads to the next, to the next, to the next, and you end up meeting the right people for it. So, yeah, that's fantastic. So that's
right.
How you met Robert, was through Ian from West Coast Songwriters. And I don't know if you know that Dudley and I are co-managers of West Coast Songwriters for San Rafael. So,
yeah,
definitely part
exactly.
of West Coast Songwriters also.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, I think the next thing I'd like to talk to you about, though, before we do the song, is a little bit about your band, the Unauthorized Rolling Stones, because I have a picture of you performing that in the slideshow. So tell us a little bit about how and when that got started.
Well, okay, so I gave you a nice little short nugget of my career as a singer-songwriter, and that career lasted somewhere into the mid-40s, say possibly 46. At 46, I released a song called Under the Impression. It got on, we sent out 2,000 copies to 2,000 stations, about 700, somewhere between 700 and 800 stations picked it up. And it actually ranked in the Gavin chart at number 30. So there was no tour. There was really no bands. And there was really no publicity. And there was no label. So Robert and I had actually put together an album which charted on the national chart. This isn't record sales. This is radio stations playing it. There's a big difference. So we weren't being distributed, which was a big mistake. Now, a record like that, you'd want to go out, you know, out the gate with a band, and wherever they're playing it, whether it's colleges or whether it's, you know, commercial radio stations, you need to be in that town if it's charting, right? Anyway, none of that happened, and the record went to number 30, and then, you know, it quickly dropped off the charts. And then I threw another song up called She's Invincible, which never really charted on the top 40, although it got to number 46.
Oh, wow.
So,
so close.
Yeah, which is, it's incredible. I mean, you know, when I look back at that, I just say, oh, my God, you know, it's, how does that happen? I mean, okay, so I obviously, I didn't feel great about that, and you know, I honestly quit music for about a year, and I didn't really want to see anybody. I didn't want to play with anybody. I was disappointed, and I was giving the world the finger. But one evening, I got a call from a musician. She said, come on, Rudy, you know, stop being such a poor sport. Come down and jam with us. And I did. I went down with my wife, and again, since I wasn't a singer-songwriter, I didn't play guitar. I just got up and sang, and they played a lot of blues, a lot of stuff, and they played some Stones. And as soon as the Stones popped in and I was singing them, the whole place was rather frantic. And I just, you know, I saw a spark in that. I was rather impressed myself. And on the ride home with my wife, she said, Rudy, he goes, you can't stop music. You got to do something. I said, yeah. She goes, start a tribute band. Oh, my God, Lisa, that's so cheesy. Come on. Like, I'm the real thing. Don't do this to me. She goes, I'm just telling you. Okay. So I did. And the next thing you know, the first year, we had 100 shows.
Oh, wow.
And that was that's a year 2000. Yeah, it just caught on like wildfire. Somehow the demographic was right at the time. The clubs wanted us. Radio wanted us. The Stones wanted us. We we opened up one of their, you know, they did a live concert, and forgot exactly which one it was, but we became the most popular tribute band in Northern California. And
well,
that
I
went
can
for
see
many
why.
Years.
I can see why we've been to see you do the unauthorized Rolling Stones like two or three times, and every time it's been so much fun.
Thank you. Yay. All right. And, that's what we do. The trajectory of us arriving on the scene spawned the Sun King, spawned the unauthorized journey, spawned the petty theft, and on. So the tribute thing really popped, because the only tribute band that I really knew of before us was Super Diamond. And he's tributing a singer-songwriter, and we were tributing a band, and it just started a thing, which I'm very proud of. I had a conversation once with Zeppelin, and, it's nice to say great things about your little local career, and this is one of those things. I said, I'm the guy for. She goes, of course we know you. She goes, you set the bar for us. And that was just a beautiful thing to say. And they became very highly paid, probably the most highly paid tribute band in the area. You know, a bunch of chicks doing Zeppelin well.
Wow, Rudy, I love this. I love hearing about how this all came about. Wow, that's fantastic. Now, okay,
thank you.
We're almost halfway through already, so I want to make sure we have time to play the song that I have queued up. And I'd like you to tell us a little bit about the song ahead of time, but we'll talk about it after. And the song I have queued up by you and Robert is God Send Your Angel. So tell us just briefly a little bit about that, and then I'll play the song. And it is just under 4 minutes.
Okay. I am about to go to bed. I forgot what I was watching, but I loved that on Netflix, Anne, the series Anne with an E. If you haven't seen it, you should. It's wonderful. So I'm closing up the TV. I take up my guitar, which, remember, I haven't really gone through a songwriting period the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up this song and I started playing it. And I said, oh, God, this sounds really good. It's really late. I think I need to go to bed. So I'm in bed and I'm trying to get to sleep. And I'm thinking, wow, that was something. So I got up, walked into the living room, and just turned on my cassette, or my phone now, and started writing the song. I laid it down. It had this great groove. Voila, all of a sudden, woke up the next morning. I had something. And then, I did the patchy-patch, tried to write something, close to the idea. I kept on playing it, kept on recording it, and the next thing you know, God Send Your Angels is born.
Well, I couldn't believe it when Robert sent me that song, because I played it, and I went, oh my gosh, I love this. I'm so glad that he sent me this song of all songs to play during the show today, and I think we probably
there's about it by now. There's really what's important too was that this COVID experience was not easy for me.
Uh-huh.
I'm highly social.
Yeah.
I make my world happy with music. So the music wasn't there to play. My big project, Music City, was shut down.
Yeah.
Just more to it. My hotel was empty. My finances were you know, seriously affected.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to see my friends. And I was actually going through a sad period of my life. And
I think a lot of people
Yeah, nothing like, you know, the edge to get you to spawn on a good song.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it is, I think, a fantastic song. And let's play it. I'm going to play it, and then we will talk some more about it after, okay?
You got it.
All right. God Send Your Angels by Rudy Colombini. Rudy, I love that song.
Thank you.
I've listened to it over and over again this morning while I was out walking and while I was preparing for the show. So,
well, I love it. Makes my day. My song.
You know, when I think good things about people, I like to tell them because the world gives out plenty of more cold fuzzy or cold pricklies all the time, and so I like to give out warm fuzzies, which is saying what I like when I like it, and or what I love when I love it, and I love it. So
I have the same policy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you want to tell us
any more about
the song?
You know, it's my expression of, you know, how I felt about COVID. And, you know, I was not on the lockdown side. I was more on the, you know, I'm you know, basically a fuzzy thinking leftist. But on this particular matter, I was very strong on the, I wouldn't say very strong, but I thought the shutdown was too much. And a lot of people got hurt. And it's usually the poor people, the people, you know, the incurably insane. I saw them out on the streets. City got praised. And anyway, that's a whole political slant. But I love the song. I think it expresses a fair opinion. You know, it's not really about, you know, what I think or what you think. No matter what you think, I'm gonna love you anyway. And I hope you can do the same for me. I hope you can do the same for me. And then, you know, the God factor in my life, I'm a reverend in a church. I'm a vice president of that church. And I teach a Course in Miracles. And this Course in Miracles thing keeps me connected to the human race. And that's a lot where the God factor comes from.
Yeah, Course in Miracles. I have not studied it in depth, but I'm very familiar with it from a lot of my other teachers, including Gabby Bernstein and Marianne Williamson and Alan Cohen. Yeah.
If you ever want to do a deep drill, which is a class, and doing it with me, I've been doing it for this particular class for 30 years. You know, Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock, we all get together, probably somewhere between 14 and 20 people. And we read the edition, and it's the Course in Miracles is a magnificent way to improve your relationships in the world.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool, Rudy, that you've been doing that for that long. So, wow. You left me speechless, and it takes a lot to do that.
No, to be actually in this, I've never, you know, this 30 years, I've been like, you know, a guru. You know, and this is my discipline. It takes up. I put all the time together about 10 hours a week. These are classes I teach. I also teach a Course of Love, you know, and that's a spinoff of A Course in Miracles. I, you know, do things for Sunday service, and I do my lessons every day. So, you know, it's a way of life.
Wow, I love that, A Course in Love. You got me really curious on that one because, you know, love to me is all caps, L-O-V-E, period. It's not, you know, it's not capital L-O-V-E or in lowercase L-O-V-E. Love is just love, you know. It, and I remember Wayne Dyer he used to call it unconditional love or divine love, but to me, love, that's what love is. It's unconditional and it's divine, you know. So
that's the main thing that the Course is trying to teach us. And the way we find it is in relationships, and there's just love. There's not this love or that love or the baby love or the lover love. There's love. That's real love. Course in Miracles, when you meet anybody like you and I have met now, it is a holy encounter. As you see them, you will see yourself. As you think of them, you will think of yourself. As you treat them, you will treat yourself. Never forget this, for in them you find yourself or lose yourself.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I, excuse me. I've been thinking and hearing a lot the words look up, with up in capital letters, look up. And then when you look up, see love, see happiness, see connection, see all of those things. We need more of all three of those in our world. And anyone who can help people feel more love, more happiness and connection, it's so needed. And I really, really, really appreciate what you're doing that's helping bring more love and happiness and connection into the world, Rudy.
Thank you.
I'm getting all choked up here.
Thank you. I am truly helpful here. Also, if you're ever interested, Saturday mornings, I'm going to do your Toastmasters.
Oh, great.
And that's
fantastic.
Next time you meet, I would have even come tonight. I'd probably have to sign up and all of that, but I have a rehearsal tonight and I have a show tomorrow night. But,
Well, I love that. We've got just over 3 minutes left, and you do have some shows coming up. Do you want to tell us about those and what else you have going on, or what would you like to tell our audience during our last few minutes?
You know, the thing that I really want to tell our audience is that, I am, a music impresario. I have a project which is called Music City San Francisco. It's being built. These are staggering numbers. But there's like $29 million being pumped into this in one form or another. It's taken over 15 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to open either November or December of this year. What it is, it's a music hub. The city of San Francisco did a report by a company in London. They paid $80,000 for a 100-page report. The report came up with a failure in the general music world of San Francisco in every way, shape, and form. And they made really one recommendation, and that was you need a music hub. And they even named Music City San Francisco as it. So this is probably the biggest thing that's going on in music as new in the Bay Area, which probably when you're talking Bay Area, you're talking about Northern California.
Right, right.
And
And
I'm in it. Don't ask how things got so big for me. I'm just, kind of an average guy. Living a pretty normal life. But this is, it's also, besides being a music hub, what it spews out, what it creates is singer-songwriters. That's what, the very top of the pyramid, that's what is in the eye of the pyramid, is great songs for a great world.
Wow, I love that. Great songs for a great world. Oh, Rudy. I am so happy you're doing the Music City, and I'm just so excited about all the things that you're doing and all of the love and happiness and connection that you are providing for so many people. And
well, I want to say that I like you personally, so I want to come up and take you out to lunch in Larkspur, sometime this next week or the week after, but
lovely.
Soon.
That
and sign
lovely.
Me up for Toastmasters. I need to public speak, and then let's spread the love. I'm giving you hugs and to all your listeners.
I'm sending love and hugs to you and to all of our listeners as well. Everybody, share this show with everyone you know, whether they're a friend, family member, or someone you don't even know. Thank you, Rudy, for all the ways that you live your music. Thank you.
Thank you. And do you have time to stay on after the show?
I will talk to you again soon, okay? We have to say bye for now, and let's talk again real soon on the phone.
Good.
Okay.
Give me
bye,
give me
everyone.
A call. I want to. Bye-bye.
I will. Bye.
Ciao.